All right. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. Turn it down a little bit. Luke chapter 2. This is indeed, if I'm sure you're aware of this by now, I think I say this every Christmas, but you're going to hear this scripture read probably about 1,400 times over the month of December around here. But there's so much in Luke chapter 2 as far as the Christmas story, the Bible version, amen, of the Christmas story. It has nothing to do with the big fat man in a red suit. Got a blue suit on today. Anyway, y'all weren't paying attention. Luke chapter 2, we better get on here before I get myself in trouble. Would you stand with me, please, together? Again, I know you just sat down, but it's good exercise. And Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So obviously cities were filling up with people. You understand, there was a lot of people traveling because it was a law, and the Roman Empire was not a merciful empire. Verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, very far along in her pregnancy. Okay? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to try to preach to you this morning by the grace of God. Verse 7 says those last three words, in the inn. In the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is, Lord, what you've given me. I pray, Father, you'd help me to relay it to your people, to get the message across, Lord, that you put in my heart. Please, Father, bind his attempts at distracting us, and help us, Lord God, to lay down our own thoughts and our busy schedules, and Lord God, to sit at the feet of Jesus for a few minutes here this morning. Lord, you deserve so much, Father, but you ask us to give you, Lord God, this time, just for the next 30, Lord God, minutes, maybe a few minutes more. Father, you deserve our lives. May we be so careful to give you this time on purpose. We need you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. I need you, Lord, to help me say what needs to be said, Father, according to your wisdom, your power, and your Holy Spirit. Now, bind the devil. Please put a hedge around this building, Lord. We plead the shed blood of Jesus and that power that it still has today. Speak to hearts. Save the lost. Father, I pray that you would help us all to draw closer to Jesus today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm not going to go through a whole lot of background, and the story here is pretty self-explanatory. Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus was the Caesar at the time of Jesus' birth, and it was basically a time where they were making people go back to be taxed, and what they wanted to do is they wanted to find out who was from which cities, so they could take a census, and then they were making them pay taxes, and so basically they were making them finance their empire a little like they needed more money, correct? But they were picking on these people, making them travel. But understand something, it was all part of prophecy. It was all part of prophecy being fulfilled, because Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Micah that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And so it had to happen that they went back to Bethlehem, which, by the way, that was where David was from. And Joseph was related to David of his family, the Bible tells us, of his lineage. And so they went back to Bethlehem, where Joseph was from. So while they were there, Mary made this trip. It was an arduous journey for her, very pregnant, very great with child. And while they were there, we don't know how long it was, but we don't think it was long because she was so great with child. It probably had a lot to do with the trip even that made her go into labor and have and bring forth this child and her baby, Jesus Christ. While she was there, she brought forth in verse 7 her firstborn son. Now let me say this to you just right off the bat. That means she had other children, okay? Yeah, I don't think I need to dwell on that. She had other children. That was only her firstborn son. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes being clothes of just nothing special. Rags, literally. She didn't have onesies. Amen? Y'all know what onesies are. Amen? That she didn't have twosies or threesies. She didn't have Izzy. She had swaddling clothes. She had. They were very, very poor family. Very, very humble, meager living they had. But the Bible says that she brought forth and wrapped him in these swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. It's even thought that she may have got those swaddling clothes from the stable area where she was. Just really rags. So we don't know whole lot of details, but here's what I want to focus on. She laid him in a manger because the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. I want to focus on that thought in the inn. We have to know that based on that verse that they went to the inn first. We have to know that, of course, the inn being a small lodging place in a small city, Bethlehem, not anything elaborate, not even a Motel 6, nothing like we have today, just a small place with a bed and a place to lay your head and rest in shelter. But I remember when I was growing up, in Paraguay, on the mission field, we had places like that when my dad would fly into the interior and we would go with him as a family and we would stay in these little inns, these little places, these little lodging places there in the town. And finally, he would build a church building, or we would get a church building, and we would stay there, sleeping on cots under mosquito nets and things like that. But nothing at all fancy. This was not a fancy place, but it was indeed the only place in town. You see there, it says, in the inn. Bethlehem did not have many choices. Bethlehem did not have a whole lot of different options for them to go lay their head in after that long journey. But I want to focus on the fact that in the inn, the difference between in the inn and in the manger. There's a big difference in that one verse in verse 7 between the inn and the manger, between the inn and the stable. And that's what I want to get to this morning. I want you to understand something, that in the inn is where God tried to take them. God tried to take them first, but it was not allowed. There was no room for them. There was too many people already there. In the inn, however, there was comfort. In the manger, there was none. In the end, there was more lighting, there was more luxuries, if you will. In the manger, there was none. In the inn, can you imagine the conversation in the inn? The conversation in the inn was about, wow, I can't believe that we've had to come all this way to pay taxes. Wow, I can't believe how long this trip has been. In the inn, the conversation must have gone something like that. In the inn, I believe that they were probably talking about how tired they were. In the inn, I believe they were probably talking about how thankful they were that they had a place to sleep. In the inn, I believe they were probably talking about how they had so traveled and suffered and been given an opportunity finally to just stop and rest. In the end, the conversations, what I'm trying to say to you this morning, and I keep wanting to say tonight, y'all forgive me, sometimes my mind just doesn't click on all cylinders. Please forgive me. But as long as the Holy Spirit works, amen, it could be night or morning. But in the end, their conversation was completely consumed with nothing but themselves. Yeah. In the end, they had no thought of Jesus. In the end, they had no thought of a little baby being born. In the end, they had no concern for Jesus. In the end, they had no concern for his comfort. They were concerned about theirs. In the end, that night, they were concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to rest comfortably in their comfortable little beds and have a good time in the end. However, in the manger, everything was different. In the manger, there was no comfort. In the manger, there was nowhere to lay his head. Jesus, the Bible even says, he said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And it started from the very beginning of his life here in the manger. In the manger, there was no comforts. In the manger, the conversation was all about Jesus. In the manger, the thoughts of everyone there, the people that were there, not the animals, was all about Jesus. The conversation, can you imagine, of course, you know, those of you who are parents, you remember when you first have that baby, boy, you spend a lot of time just staring at that thing, that he or she. It's not a thing, but, you know, you spend a lot of time just, even daddies do that. Now, you might not want to admit it now, but even daddies do that. Wow. And you just spend a lot of time just looking at that baby, holding that baby, talking baby talk to that baby. You spend a lot of time doing that. And that's what was going on in the manger. That's what was going on in this stable. The conversation was all about Jesus. The conversation was every bit about this baby that was born. Remember, Joseph and Mary, they knew that this baby was a miraculous gift from God. Joseph and Mary knew that this baby was no normal baby. Joseph and Mary, though, they're the only two people in the world that knew that at this time. They're the only two people in the world that knew this is God in the flesh. This is the Holy One of Israel given to me, Mary would say, as a gift from God conceived in my virgin womb. And now they're looking at him in his eyeballs. Now they're able to see him face to face. Now they're able to hear him cry. I know you couldn't say much right about then, but boy, they sure can make a lot of noise, can't they? I don't believe Jesus was a baby any different than any other baby. I believe he must have cried, and he still had to have diapers changed. Hello. He still had to have feeding. They still had to feed him. They still had to take care of him as a baby. And I just want you to think about the difference this morning between what was going on in the manger and what was going on in the inn. In the end, I don't believe they were very far apart from each other. I believe they probably went to the inn. That we don't know. You can study and you can try to find out from different theologians. You know, that's all they are, is theologians. They don't really know. If God wants us to know, he'll tell us. Amen. But he didn't tell us. But was this inn, was this manger, was this stable owned by the innkeeper? Many people think, well, the innkeeper, when they came to the inn, and he said, sorry, there's no room in the inn, but I have a stable out back that you could use. I don't know. It may have been that they went down the road and they happened to find a manger. They happened to find a stable and they just went in and made themselves at home. I don't know. But knowing Joseph and Mary, knowing how they were very godly, upright, young Jewish boy and girl, knowing them and their character from already seeing them at work and how God's working in their lives, I believe that they didn't just make themselves at home in some strange manger. I believe that probably that the innkeeper said, here, I have something out back here. So I'm going to believe that, and you can hang on that with me if you will. If you have another theory, amen, then next time you preach your theory. But the thing is, I believe the innkeeper said, hey, I've got a stable out back. I've got some sheep and some livestock out there. Why don't you just go out there? At least you're under some kind of shelter.
Yeah.
And so here's the point that I'm making, that it wasn't far away from the inn.
Right.
It wasn't far away from the inn. In the inn, they were laughing. In the inn, they were eating. In the inn, they were comfortable. In the inn, they were getting ready to sleep. Some of them were sleeping. In the inn, they were having a good time. In the inn, they were together. In the inn, everything was working out because they had found their place to stay. In the inn, it was completely different than just right out in the backyard in the manger.
Yeah.
In the end, can I say to you, there was a lot more people there. There was a lot more people in the inn. That's the reason it was full. That's the reason there was no room, Miss Ingrid, because it was full of people. It wasn't that it was just they were just being grumpy and not letting Jesus stay there. It wasn't because nobody wanted him there. They didn't even know who he was. They didn't know Joseph and Mary were somebody special. They were just travelers like the rest of them. It just so happened by prophetic providence, if you will, I believe completely, that Jesus had to be born in that lowly manger. I understand that. But I want you to think about the reality of the situation this morning is that in that inn, there was a lot more people there than there were in the manger. In that inn, there was a lot more activity than there was outside in that manger. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know if Jesus, if she brought forth her firstborn son in that stable. It sure sounds like it. I don't understand how she could have done that if Joseph did that for her. And I understand back in those days, young people were a lot stronger than they are today. They didn't have epidurals and they didn't have nurses and they didn't have all the painkillers. But there's no mention even of a midwife here. I mean, it's just Joseph and Mary out in the stable. And there they are with some sheep and some smelly animals. And in the end, though, everything is just clicking along like always. In the end, there's nothing to worry about. In the end, if a young girl is great with child, hey, she can find help. In the end, if she's great with child, she can find a bed to lay on. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Y'all with me so far? I don't think I'm stretching it here. I think this is exactly what the Bible's telling us. In the end, things were a lot different than they were in the manger. In the manger, there was two young people, two and a half, and then there was three. There was one birth happening in that manger that changed the entire world. There was one young baby that was born in that manger that came to give his life a ransom for sinners. There was one young baby. Of course it was a young baby. Aren't all babies young? Like somebody said, I was born at a very early age. Yeah, so was I. Amen. But in the manger, there was a baby being born. In the manger, there was a young man, Joseph, and his espoused wife. They were not married yet. They had not been together yet. But he was there with her, and he was helping her deliver her firstborn child. She was maybe 14, 15. She was a very young lady. That was another reason that she suffered so much reproach and affliction, because she was too young to be with child. That's why they weren't married yet, because she wasn't old enough. But boy, here she is, great with child as a teenager. Most people, listen, looked at her. I don't imagine in the end that they looked pretty well, because the Bible says that she was already great with child. So when they showed up in the end, and the people that were already, because it's full of people. Right? Are you with me? I know I'm taking you down imagination lane here, but it's in the Bible. So in the end, it was full of people. In the end, there's people everywhere, and here walks in Joseph and Mary.
Yeah.
Amen. A young little girl who's great with child. And you understand, she was able to hide that thing. She was great with child, and here walks in the inn, the great with child, young little virgin Mary, pure, by the way, still pure.
Right.
Still pure in her mind, still pure in her heart,
right.
Still pure in her spirit,
Amen.
Still pure. And God, listen, God uses purity.
Yeah.
Amen.
God blesses purity, y'all.
That's right.
Listen, I'm here to tell you right now, we're in a world today that doesn't understand the power of purity. We're in a world today that doesn't understand that God is pure. His word is very pure. And listen, and God blesses pure lives. God chose to bless Mary and Joseph, pure young people. But when they walked in that inn, in the inn, they had to go in the inn to find out there's no room in the inn. So as they walked through those doors in the inn, understand something, they were automatically... She can't be over 15. You see that over there? She's got to be, she may be 15. Good night. What a wicked sinner. In the end, the attitude is not good. In the end, the spirit is not good. In the end, there's a whole lot of self-righteous murmurers. In the end, there's a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of opinions that don't know what they're talking about. In the end, there's a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of opinions, and none of them are right.
That's right.
In the end. In the end, there's people going about their daily lives. But in the manger, there's a young man and a young lady who know that God is working His plan.
Amen.
God is putting together. The glory of God is about to manifest itself in a way that it never has before. I said never has before. God manifested in the flesh. God Himself coming down to human flesh and becoming man for us. And the glory of God is becoming reality to us. Listen, I know God existed. Jesus existed from everlasting to everlasting. But at this point in the manger, things are completely different now than they've ever been.
Amen.
But in the end, nobody has a clue.
That's right.
Nobody even knows what's going on. In the end, they're self-absorbed. In the end, they're full of their own lives. They're filled with thoughts of, where have I come from? What am I doing? What are we doing tomorrow? Me. In the manger, oh Lord, in the manger, Joseph and Mary have nothing on their minds but God Almighty.
Yeah, that's right.
They have nothing on their hearts but look at what God has done. Oh, but in the end, there was a whole lot more people in there. In the end, they all had pretty much the same routine.
Yeah.
In the end, they were just kind of getting ready for the next day. In the end, there was light, but it was of the earth. In the manger, there was eternal light from heaven. Now, I know you've seen nativity scenes. I know you've seen, the light is, the manger's glow. No, none of that, sorry. That's drama. That's Hollywood.
Yeah.
It was a manger, it stunk, it was cold, it was dark, it was Jesus, yes, but He wasn't radiating any glory, y'all. He was just a baby.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, but in that stable that night, Joseph and Mary in their hearts were filled with heavenly sunlight.
Yes.
Heavenly Amen. Sunlight, yeah. Flooding my soul with glory divine. But in the end, there may have been a light. There may have been a candle. I mean, there wasn't fluorescent. There was candles, but there was no light. And in the end, when those folks laid their head on the pillow that night and they blew out their little candle, their lantern, whatever it was, and it was still darkness outside, darkness inside.
Yeah, sure is. Amen.
You say, preacher, what are you trying to get at this morning? I think you know exactly what I'm trying to get at this morning. Where are you living?
Yeah, come on.
Where are you living?
Amen.
Who do you identify more with? If you were there, where would you be more comfortable? Mm-hmm. See, we're living today in a world, and all they want to do is spend all of their time in the inn.
Yep. Come on, preacher.
I'm talking about saved people.
Yeah, come on.
In the inn, you're going to find a lot more people than you are in the stable. In the inn, you're going to find a lot more people who say they know Jesus, but they have no desire to spend any time with him. They're much more comfortable in the end. That's where they're comfortable. Oh, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, yeah, I know, but you know, I've got my life, I've got my thoughts, I've got my time, I've got my journey, I've got my past, I've got my life, I've got my future. In the end is where most of God's people live their lives.
Yeah. Come on.
In the end, the glory of God is manifesting himself to two little kids. Two little kids out in the stable. Hey, remember, they're not far apart. They're not far apart. And two little kids, listen to me, because they decided, I'm not going to live my life in the inn. Now, I know they tried, I understand that, but you understand the application I'm making this morning. They decided, I'm not going to live my life in the inn. That's why God chose them. That's why God manifested his glory to them first. Can you imagine? They're the first people in all the world to see that baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the glory of God, the Bible says the angels went to the shepherds and announced to the shepherds, Christ is born, amen, peace on earth, goodwill to all men, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they ran with haste to see that baby, but not from the end, they didn't.
Yeah, right.
They slept right through it. They slept right through it. If it was today, they clicked right through it. What's on Channel 8? I wonder what I can do on Facebook today. Let's see. I'm sure I've got some time I can kill. I'm going to preach this morning. That's okay. God's people live their lives in the end. When a Christian comes in, oh boy, they like to talk. When somebody decides, hey, I'm living for God. I don't really care what you think. There may not be room for me here, but I'm going to go somewhere else and live for God. You're not changing my attitude. You're not changing my opinion. You know what they do, though? They just keep on talking. They just keep on running their mouth. They just keep on opposing it. But the fact of the matter is, God is still God, and God will use you. You just can't listen to everybody else's mouth and everybody else's opinion. If you live for God, God will show himself to you. He manifested himself to those kids that night, and nobody in the end saw and knew anything different.
Right.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. You say, preacher, they didn't know. No, but you do.
Amen.
You do. And yet the same exact scenario plays out all the time. Somebody's trying to live for God. Somebody's trying to actually walk with God. Amen. You understand, those kids walked all the way from Nazareth with God.
Yeah.
Literally.
Amen.
Hey, that's a good thought.
Yes, sir.
They walked with God. Literally. But you still can walk with God. Does he not live in your heart? Somebody say amen. Does he not dwell in us as believers? And listen to me, they walked with God, and when they got to their destination, it didn't turn out because they went to the inn first. It was the logical place to go. I don't know for sure, but I can imagine they probably went to that inn expecting to have that baby in that inn and have everybody excited about, hey, look what God's done. But nobody in that inn even cared.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't tell anybody. Maybe they didn't. Of course, who's going to believe them? They're just two little kids, and she's barely old enough to have a child, and they're not married. Who's going to believe them? But in the end, things were just clicking along, and Jesus was put out to pasture. They were comfortable. They slept that night, and they went on with their life the next day, never even knowing. Why do so many of God's people live in the inn?
Yeah.
I said, "Preacher, I'm in church." Okay. Where are you going to be tonight? In the inn. Where are you going to be Wednesday night? In the inn. I'm preaching. I'm talking to you. If that's you, I'm talking to you. Because that's exactly what this is about. Well, I'm going to the inn. But Jesus is going, well, I'm going to be at the inn. You see, God's people have been given a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where are you
Amen.
When it's time to do that?
Amen.
You're in the inn.
Come on.
You're in the inn. Yeah, I know it's going to get quiet. I know. Because there's a lot more people in the inn. There was two young kids in that stable that night. And they didn't care what the inn people thought.
Amen.
They were going to do what God said.
Amen.
And see, the Bible tells us that God showed himself to them. Hey, listen. The inn was right there by the stable. But the Bible says that the angel, the glory of God and the angel and the message of God and the message of salvation wasn't even taken to the inn. It was taken to in the same country. The Bible says there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. Nobody even went to the inn. Could it be maybe that God knew they don't care?
Yeah.
I can't use them because they don't care.
Yeah.
It's a sad day in America when Christians choose the inn over the stable. And it happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Why? I mean, is Jesus not good enough? Is God himself in the flesh not good enough? You know what it is the manger's dirty. The manger was unclean. The manger was uncomfortable. That's really what it was. It's uncomfortable. You say, well, they didn't know, preacher. I already addressed that. You do. You do. We do. We have the message. We have it all right here. We know the beginning. We know the middle. We know the end. We know it. So why do you live in the end?
Yeah.
Why do you spend all of your time in the inn when you know Jesus is in the stable? Why do you spend all your time in the inn when you know God is working out there in the stable? Because could it be maybe it's too uncomfortable? Could it be that there's just not enough people out there? Could it be maybe that everybody else is in the inn? Could it be, I don't know what it is, but there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Jesus was being born. God himself was manifesting his glory and his power to two little kids right in the backyard, and those people, unless something changed, they went straight to hell and they died.
Amen.
I'm not talking about lost people today, though. I'm talking about God's people who live in the inn. There was no conversation with Jesus. He wasn't there. There was no relationship with Jesus. He wasn't there. There was no fellowship with Jesus. He wasn't there. He's in my heart, preacher. I know that. But don't give me this garbage about you fellowshipping with Jesus your own way. There's one way to worship God, and that is in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Not in flesh.
That's right.
Spirit means in the Holy Spirit of God, and in truth means in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's not worship and he doesn't hear it. He's not accepting it. It's your own imagination. But understand something. The worship that was going on that night in the stable, the worship that was going on, can you imagine how Mary and Joseph were just looking at each other, looking at that baby, tears falling down their cheeks. Amazing grace, oh God, I can't believe how wonderful, how you have done such an amazing miracle. And you used little old me and God's power was there in the manger, but the inn was just as dead as some of your hearts right now.
Amen.
Why isn't God good enough for you? Why isn't Jesus enough for you to move out of the inn and get busy in God's will?
Amen.
Well, it's uncomfortable. Aren't you glad that didn't stop Mary and Joseph? Well, you couldn't stop it. Oh, okay. Aren't you glad that didn't stop God? Aren't you glad that didn't stop Jesus? His whole life was uncomfortable.
Amen.
Let me remind you, by the way, he said, if any man is going to be my disciple, he's got to deny himself. That's the first thing. You know what Mary and Joseph did that day, that night? They denied themselves. They didn't stay there at the inn and demand a room. Don't you know that I have Jesus in my womb? Who's going to believe that? Don't you understand? I'm married. This is Joseph. I don't care. They didn't have a Bible, by the way. They didn't have the whole story before them. Hey, well, don't you understand that I'm carrying God's only begotten Son in my womb? Give me a room. What are you, crazy? You're a lunatic. Get out of here. They didn't do that.
That's right.
They didn't argue. They didn't complain. They didn't fight God. Why do you? Why do we? Well, we're just sinners. I understand that. We are sinners. So were Mary and Joseph. But they didn't let the inn stop them.
Amen.
From serving God.
Amen.
They didn't let the comfort of the inn discourage them. They found a place that God had for them.
Yeah.
Whew, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
They just followed God.
Amen.
It didn't take them to the inn. They obviously went there.
Praise God.
They went there. They believed, hey, let's go to the inn. I mean, come on, I'm wore out. Let's go to the inn. Let's find some comfort. God said, that's not where I want you. That's not where I want you. But you know what God did? He blessed their obedience. He blessed their servant spirit. He blessed their pure hearts. I wonder why they didn't go tell the people in the inn. Why didn't they go tell them? I say, preacher, I can't prove that. No, I can't prove it either, but I can tell you one thing. After going into that inn and hearing those people gossip and run their mouths about them, you say, preacher, they weren't like that back then. Oh, are you serious? What, people weren't sinners back then? Do you remember the Pharisees? Do you remember their critical spirit? I mean, they mocked Jesus all the way to the cross.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Understand something. Why didn't they run back to the inn and tell everybody? I can't prove it to you, but I think they realize they're not going to believe us.
That's right.
They're not going to believe us. But when the angel showed up and told the shepherds that night, not only did they believe them, but they made haste to go see the baby.
Yes.
They didn't look in the inn. They were told, go find the baby. This shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they must have thought, did he say manger? Oh, okay. Well, God was, and they ran to that, and they found that baby, and they received blessings.
Amen.
They got to see. Their hearts were changed forever. That Mary and Joseph's heart were, but those people in that inn. Time for bed. Why do you live in the inn? Why do you dwell with those kind of... Is it because you're more comfortable with him? If that's okay to say, if you're more comfortable with him, then something's wrong in here.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't you run to where Jesus is?
Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord.
We know better. God has given us the whole story here. We have no excuse, but we live in the inn. We spend the abundance of our time in the inn. Our Bible's laying right over here at home. We're right over here. Click, click, click. It's right there. It's right there. That's God Almighty in written form. Right there. That's the Word. That's Jesus. But you know, it's right there. Not right within reach. One, two steps. But I'm staying in the inn. Why isn't God good enough? Why isn't Jesus coming, God himself coming in the flesh to save us from sin?
Yes.
Why doesn't that do more in your heart?
Yeah, come on.
Well, I'm just going to stay in the inn. I think I'm just staying in the inn tonight. I don't understand it. I'm not going to understand it. Because it changed my life.
Yes.
He changed my life.
Amen.
When did he change your life? Okay, if he really changed your life, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened? You probably started listening to those folks in the inn.
Uh-huh.
And they started telling you what they thought. And you started believing them.
Amen.
And you saw a manger in a stable versus a comfortable inn. This has got everything the world has to offer. This is a stable. But this is Jesus! What's wrong with us? We live in the inn. We spend all of our time in the inn. We give God maybe an hour a week. What's wrong with us? Those inn people, by the way, they weren't. God just left them alone. There's so much to be had in the stable, in the manger. God Almighty revealed, manifested in that manger. But we Americans, we spend too much time in the inn. God help us today. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you remember a time that you went from darkness to light?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say you got religious. I didn't say you went to church once and had a funny feeling. You went from darkness to light. You went from death to life. Do you remember that? Then why isn't it worth more to you than just staying in the inn the rest of your life?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm done. It's time. My time's out. Some of you are going to walk out of here this morning and you're just going to go right back to the inn. Why? Doesn't God mean more than that to you? I'm pleading with you. Don't go back to the inn. Wake up and understand it's happening in the manger. It's not happening in the inn. God's working in the manger. He's not working in the inn. God's doing miracles in the manger. He's doing nothing in the inn.
Amen.
Why do you keep dwelling there?
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Why? Do you live in the inn?
Thank you, Lord.
God, help us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message. Oh, God, help your people. Help me. Help me, God. Work in my heart. Oh, God, how many years I wasted in the inn. How many years I threw away in the inn. God, this morning I pray, do something in somebody's heart, please. Do a work in our hearts.